recap.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, you got to give it up to Brooklyn. You got to give it up to the management in Brooklyn. They get Kyrie Irving and they get Kevin Durant. And this was a move against a behemoth in their own backyard of a team that had tradition and pedigree that had fallen on such hard times that the attractiveness wasn't joining the team to continue its greatness. The attractiveness was taking a team that was so iconic and bringing it back to greatness. That's what Brooklyn was up against going after these two individuals. The lore of New York satisfies some and just turns away some others. And I get it. Listen, I covered the Denver Nuggets with Carmelo Anthony, and there was a moment in Anthony's career in Denver where he felt the lore of New York. A lot of it had to do with his wife who was in the entertainment field, but the lore of New York for Carmelo Anthony was always there. That East Coast, he was from Baltimore, played at Syracuse. He wanted to go to the Garden. He wanted to play at the Garden. That's an attractive place to play. It's an attractive organization to play for if you can do it and do it correctly. But Brooklyn, sort of a team that moved there from New Jersey, just still finding its way, right? You have fan base in New Jersey, and now you're trying to build it in Brooklyn with New Yorkers who have grown up liking the Knicks, maybe having to shed that and maybe having to join your organization over the last, what, 5, 10, 6, 7 years, wherever long they've been over there. It's an organization that knows there is a large shadow that is on top of it, and that is the Knicks. And the Knicks' desire to get back, and the Knicks' desire to get back on top, knowing that players who go there and do that are going to be on another level of NBA greatness. They'll be on another level of the NBA history. They'll be on another level of New York history. That's what Brooklyn was up against, and they did it. And they did it because around these two guys is a budding young talent that is going to complement these two guys very well when Durant finally hits the court in a year. When this team finally is together, the way it's designed, with Durant recovering from the ACL injury, so not this season, but next season, there is some young talent there. LeVert, Dinwiddie, right? There's some good talent there that can make Brooklyn a finals contender immediately.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. What a busy day yesterday. NBA free agency is. Reports were flying all over the place. But I think the one everybody was waiting on was Kevin Durant. What was his decision? We still got Kawhi Leonard. That's going to be another big one. There are some ripple effects. But the big one of Durant going to Brooklyn, I don't want to say spurning the Knicks. He headed to Brooklyn. The Knicks made their offer. They didn't want to offer him a max deal, but he's heading to Brooklyn to play with Kyrie, and this makes Brooklyn now a new power player once Durant is healthy. And that's something that's got to be repeated, because unless you sort of forget, he's not going to be available next year while he recovers from his ACL injury. So the Nets that you see next season with Kyrie is going to be different than when Durant becomes the face of the franchise when he finally hits the court. Now, there are two arguments. There's always a B side to an A side. Okay. There's any situation that goes on in sports, you can always find a counter argument to it. And the counter argument right now on the Knicks is, okay, look, they may be getting beat up for this now, but in reality, look, they took a chance with Durant. They were worried about Durant. They didn't want to offer him a max deal. They're not in the same position as Brooklyn. And maybe just saying, look, we're not going to offer you a max deal. We'll maybe keep resources, continue to grow young talent, trying to be an attractive place to play down the road, is a more savvy and better way to do this. I understand that argument. I just don't buy it. I'm not buying it. For me, I think the Knicks did everything that they did this season in terms of trades and creating cap space to land Kevin Durant, whether he was injured or not. If Kevin Durant had played all the way through the NBA playoffs, or even if he didn't even come back in the finals and the strained calf became just a strained calf and he'd be ready to go next year, right? Even if that was the case, then the Knicks still may not have landed Kevin Durant. Well, we just don't know. Durant's not openly saying, gee, I would have been a Knick if they offered me a max deal, but instead I went to Brooklyn because I still want to go to New York. He's not coming out and saying that. We have no idea what was really going on. Were the Knicks ever really in play? We don't know. The idea is that if Durant was healthy enough to warrant a max deal from the Knicks, that he would have gone to the Knicks. So let's take that assumption. Okay, fine. But if you're the Knicks, this injury, I know, causes you some concern. Absolutely. It should cause Brooklyn some concern. Even though he took he's taken less money to go there, it should cause anybody that gets Durant concerned. You just don't know what player you're going to get after an injury like this. But the safe bet is that he's going to be okay. The safe bet is that he's still going to be a very, very effective player, an all-star level player. That's the bet. There's no guarantee, but that's the bet. And if you're the Knicks and you've created this room to land him, then land him. If this came down to Durant would have gone if there was a max deal on the table and there wasn't, so he went to Brooklyn. If that was the truth, and I don't know if it is, all right, I have no idea if it is, but let's just say it's that, then the Knicks failed. They failed their fan base. Now, obviously, you could say, well, might have been a smart move. We don't know what Durant was going to be like. Save the money, go get somebody else, or grow that young talent so that you'll have room for another free agent blockbuster summer. Look ahead, not the back. I get all that. But this is why Kristaps Porzingis is no longer a Knick. This is why they shredded salary. That's why they had to get rid of some heavy contracts. They got rid of those to do this, and they didn't do it. Now you can spin it any way you want. And I understand there's always a spin, right? But if Durant comes back healthy and fine and he's winning lots and lots and lots of games and Brooklyn is a finals contender, is this going to still be the argument that you hold on to if you're Knicks brass, if you're Steve Mills? Is this the argument you hold on to? Is this the argument you're going to keep selling to your fan base? No. You remember, we weren't sure at the time. We're looking for the future. We got RJ Barrett. We're going to have young talent around him. We're going to look more attractive. What they're going to try to do is what Brooklyn had to do. Cuz this is what made Brooklyn's move so smart, right? Brooklyn played very well this season. Right? Under Kenny Atkinson. They played well. Right? A lot of it had to do with the deal they had with Boston in terms of the pick. Play well enough to do something with this season, even if it's not championship. Don't tank, because tanking wasn't going to accomplish anything. Play as hard as you can and look attractive. And that's what they did. So if you're Durant and Kyrie, Brooklyn's a young, attractive team. Barely above 500, but a young, attractive team that plays hard and is coached pretty well. What have the Knicks shown you? Nothing. Nothing. You're building it from scratch. We don't know what kind of player RJ Barrett's going to be. We don't know really who they're going to be surrounded with. So nevertheless, it was still the Knicks' job to land two people. Right? And if you know that Kyrie wants to go back to that area, being from New Jersey, then you make strong pushes. You present the game plan. You talk about, look, go win championships in Brooklyn. You can win three in Brooklyn and have it be nowhere close to one at Madison Square Garden. Win five in Brooklyn. Do what Kobe did. I always bring up Kobe, the way he treated Dwight Howard when Howard was going through free agency when he was with the Lakers and finally ended up in Houston. I always loved what Kobe did. Look, we're the Lakers. Do that with you if you're the Knicks. Look, we're the Knicks. We haven't been very good, but this is a way to change that, and it's different here than anywhere else. LeBron knew it. That's why he went to the Lakers and not the Clippers. right? LeBron knew it. That's why he didn't go to Utah, right? Or anywhere else. There are certain franchises in sports that are better in terms of their history, in terms of what they mean to the fan base, than others. That's just the way it is. Winning in Dallas is better than winning in Jacksonville. Winning in Pittsburgh is better than winning in, you know, name your city. But in the NBA, winning in New York is something we just haven't seen. A lot of us have never seen it, right? We almost saw it. Game 7 to 94, we almost saw it. They just come up short. But it is different. But they couldn't sell that because they're a dysfunctional franchise and they made this mistake with Durant. But we'll never know the true story. We'll never know the story. Maybe Durant all along had said, it's New York, but it ain't New York like you're thinking. I'm not going to that organization. Because I got to think when you taste a championship, you got to get back to that. You want that all the time. And you got to put your trust in an organization that hasn't really done very well, even if how great you are and how great Kyrie might be. You got to put your trust in an organization that's going to do right by you. Get you the right coach if you need it. Get you the right role players if you need it. Get you that one more guy. I mean, look at the way Brooklyn is going to be loaded when Durant is finally healthy. I mean, that young team that won 42 games last year, that's a fun team to watch. I mean, there were moments during the season where they were putting on runs of wins, where they were league pass worthy. And now they're going to have three players in Kyrie, DeAndre Jordan, and of course Durant coming in 2020 when he's healthy. But I'm just not, forgive me for this, because I know some really smart basketball pundits who have been inside the game are making the strong case that the Knicks may have been smart here. It's not sitting with me. Because again, the game is, it's planning and it's winning and all of that, but it's also showing your fan base that you've got this. And I don't think if you're a fan of the Knicks right now, you believe your organization has this, right? Quote unquote. Go get the guy you wanted. Go get, sell it however hard you want to sell it. Yeah, it's funny. There was a movie a while back with John Travolta. He played a lawyer, and he was going after some major company that was poisoning the water in Woburn, Massachusetts. And Robert Duvall plays the counter lawyer, right? The lawyer for the company. And they had this big meeting. They're in this hotel. They have this big meeting. And Travolta's got his lawyers, and there's some cancer that's going on in this town, and they know the chemicals are being dumped and all that. And Travolta starts telling the lawyers what they want so they don't have to go to trial. And he just lists number after number after number after number, right? And it gets increasing. It's astronomical. He wants $30 million for this and $20 million for this and $50 million for this. And Robert Duvall's lawyer character raises his hand and he says, I have a question. And he says, well, I'm sure we have a lot of questions here. And he goes, can I keep this pen? And he gets up and he just walks out of the room. I envision that with Durant's people when the Knicks were like, we're not offering a max deal. Can I keep this pen? Yeah, get up and walk out. Durant was going to get a max deal from somebody and should have gotten a max deal from somebody. And the Knicks were not in a position to try to sell him on being a Knick without that max deal. So either one, the Knicks were playing a game they didn't want to win, knowing the backlash was going to be strong, or B, they threw their cards on the table to say, well, maybe he still wants to come here regardless of what this of our concerns with this injury and the contract. And they blew it both times. So I just think you owe this to your fan base that you've been saying over and over again, the summer, and the summer comes and you get nothing. Nothing. And Brooklyn, the team that's right up the street, right over the bridge, right all down the subway line, is going to be the talk of the NBA in 2 years. 800-777-2907. And again, Tony D, Ron Culver, at Tony D Radio on Twitter. Your thoughts on NBA free agency, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's, as we roll along on a Monday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Nation Radio. Summer's heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now. Have your battery tested free of charge. If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. How about that? O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So again, NBA free agency rolling around. Now Kawhi Leonard's turn to shock us all. Where do you think he goes? Still think he's Laker bound, Clipper bound, LA bound?
I think he's definitely LA bound. I don't think he stays in Toronto.
Does the news about the Raptors getting the last attempt, the last offer, make you think that they could pull this off? Seems like a courtesy.
It does. It feels like a courtesy call.
But don't give them hope, right? Well, we'll get the last offer. We'll make the big, because they can offer him more than anybody else. So they should just say no bother. Here's what we can give you.
Toronto literally has gone above and beyond to show Kawhi Leonard love.
That's right. If he turns them down, there's nothing else you can do.
Yeah, and do they graciously accept it?
Yeah, they should.
I'm not saying they should. Oh, or no, should. No. I'm saying do they.
Oh, do they
take
good
to
point.
The streets and riot? No.
Well, now that we know that they are capable of doing these things, right? Before they were the kind citizens of Canada. Now it seems like they can be unruly at times.
Yeah, I just have a feeling that if he burns them and goes to L.A., next time he comes back to Toronto, he's going to be booed mercifully.
Oh, that's a good question. I will disagree. Well, no, I won't, because I know mob mentality overrides logic, right? On a singular level, right? One person, right? You could see one person going, well, he didn't want to come here to begin with. He was traded here. So therefore, they forced him to come here. He wanted to go somewhere else. He wanted to go play near home. He wasn't allowed to do that. He did win a championship for a team he didn't want to play for. That's understandable. And you know what? Thank him for it. I will say thank you. But the mob mentality might kick in, because people don't like getting spurned. They don't like it when athletes leave. They don't. They much prefer you love their city like they love their city. But that's hard to do, because a lot of people love their city because that's where they were born and that's where they were raised, or they spend a good part of their life there. And so that becomes their area. That becomes their town, their city, their pride. You are an athlete. You are a paid mercenary, if you will. You're not from anywhere. You got drafted. You have to go where they draft you. And then you bounce around the league based on who wants your services at the highest price. So Kawhi coming to Toronto, I can see a citizen of that city going, well, to his credit, he didn't want to be here and yet gave us a championship. So we're going to thank him. But he also said, that's enough. I'm out. I mean, look, remember when LeBron kicked Cleveland in the face in 2010? He was their prodigal son. Well, I actually shouldn't say that. He was the prodigal son when he returned. He was there, he was the chosen one from Akron. And yet when he announced he was taking his talents to South Beach, they were burning his jersey in the street. Nobody likes getting spurned. And nobody likes it when you understand too, right? Even when you get it. When a guy wants to leave because it's not working out, or a guy wants to leave because he just needs to find something else. He's tired of losing and the organization isn't putting a team around him. So that now Kawhi, it's Kawhi's turn. Let this calm down, and Kawhi, you make your big splash. When is that announcement supposed to come down? Was that announced like Durant's decision at 6 o'clock last night?
I thought it was supposed to be during the weekend.
I did too.
But maybe he hasn't met with teams yet. Kawhi Leonard does seem to do things at his own pace. So
that's true.
Maybe he's just taking his time doing it, perfecting the laugh a little bit more.
Man, if he goes to L.A., listen, I got a friend of mine in Denver who I won't mention, but he's a prominent personality. And he had something on Twitter which I thought was interesting but wrong, but worthy of sort of comment. And he said that with all of the wheeling and dealing, with all of the, you know, super teams, right? Let's get a guy, you and me are buddies, we're superstars, let's go to this team. He's like, it's going to make it sweeter when the Nuggets win the title without doing any of this. And I hate to tell him, but that's not going to happen. The Nuggets are a really good team, and they've got a lot of good young players around them. But I just, you cannot win in the NBA by getting one player emerge as a star, build some players around him, play really good as a team. You need to build a team with some talent, like multiple guys that can produce for you. I can't see the Western Conference being won by a team like Denver by just doing the same thing that they did last year. The Lakers are going to be better. The Clippers are going to be better. Utah is already better. Golden State, even though they lost Durant, aren't going away. They just replaced Klay Thompson with D'Angelo Russell, and they were a pretty good basketball team without Durant, right? I don't know if they're 82 games on top of the Western Conference good, but they're not going to the basement, right? San Antonio will still be kicking around at bugging people, right? This Houston, despite some dysfunction, still has James Harden. This is still a Western Conference that's really, really tough. And Denver's going to be in that mix, but they're not in that mix as the number two seed from last year, and now it's their turn because Golden State lost Durant. I mean, the Clippers are going to be good. Forget the Lakers, who are going to be fantastic. And by the way, there's also New Orleans. And New Orleans might make things interesting in the West. I mean, you got a lot of things going on in that conference.
But I think with New Orleans, I think we're a year away. I think
that's probably more likely.
I think next year, you know, we start to see something happen, but it's going to be too little too late.
But don't you think you could see couldn't you see the Pelicans, they'll be a pesky 8 seed?
Oh, of course.
You know, not a good team, not a great team yet, but a pesky 8 seed. It's like, oh my God, this team won't go away.
Yeah, just an annoying annoying team all season long.
A little pest.
A mosquito.
I was just kind of just like, wow, we can't get rid of these can't get rid of this team in 4 or 5? They're taking us to 7? Like, that's the kind of thing. So it's just, and if especially if Kawhi goes to L.A. in either one of those capacities, Clippers or the Lakers. I think he'll go with the Lakers, but nevertheless. Jokic is a fantastic player. He's an all-star player. He's one of the best big men we've got in the league. I get all of that. And the Gary Harris and Paul Millsap, and when you get Michael Porter Jr. up and running, and all the indications are that he's going to be really good. Don't just assume because you're a 2 seed last year that all of a sudden now it's our time. This Western Conference got a lot different. That's what the summer is. But you know what else is interesting? We don't get to do this very often in the NFL in terms of like very, very important players, because very important players get locked up in the franchise tag. So you don't see guys, you don't see like quarterbacks on the open market. Like, you don't see Aaron Rodgers getting courted around, right? You don't get to see the same level. You see good players, don't get me wrong. You see good players in free agency, and you see good players, good corners, good linebackers, good edge rushers, maybe a running back, wide receiver, etc. But you never see important quarterbacks like on the same level as a LeBron, Durant, you know, Kawhi kind of level, game changing talent. You never just see them on the open market in the NFL. They've built it into the system where it's just not going to happen. You know, if you're a quarterback in this league and you land with a team, chances are that's where you're going to finish. So the NBA has that one caveat that's a little bit better. Major, major, major superstars can change everything. Everything. Now Brooklyn is the toast of New York. So interesting. Good, the bad, and the dumb. Oh, I can't wait. I've been missing this all week. It's up next, SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
So here we are, the good, the bad, the dumb. After coming back from vacation, this was one of the things I was looking forward to coming back,
Mr. Culver.
You should
be looking forward to it.
Yeah.
The good of the day. You know what? We've been talking basketball, NBA free agency all day. We even hit on a little bit of that, you know, greatest American rivalry, Yankees-Red Sox.
Yep.
But I'm going to shed light on what's really good going on right now.
Okay.
U.S. soccer in semifinal action.
I was going to ask you about this. Gold Cup, right?
Gold Cup and Women's World Cup.
Both of our teams are
in the semifinals of major tournaments. Now, obviously the World Cup trumps the Gold Cup. But the one thing that's kind of amazing right now, and I was perusing the web, if you will, to try to see if this has ever happened before, but the U.S. men's national team have played 4 games so far and have yet to allow a goal.
Wow!
I don't know if that's ever happened.
They can't possibly have done that another time in their history.
It was routine of them to spot the other side at least 2 goals and then come back and win.
Yeah. God, that's great.
So the men's team won again last night, won their quarterfinal match. We'll be playing Jamaica in the semis Wednesday. And the U.S. women's national team will be facing off against England on Tuesday, tomorrow.
So the win against France for the women, that was a big deal, right?
That was a huge deal.
France was the home country, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, I will say this. FIFA screwed up somehow, some way, because that should have been the final. These were the top 2 teams coming into the tournament. That should have been the final. I don't know how they messed that bracket up.
Yeah, goodness.
But
still, Megan Rapinoe scored twice, right?
Yes.
Again, I was on a ship, and I could barely get this info.
This is setting something up that's going to be unheard of for the United States.
All right.
Assuming the women beat England tomorrow, and assuming the men beat Jamaica on Wednesday, that sets us up with 2 soccer finals on Sunday. We would have the Women's World Cup final in the morning, and then the men's Gold Cup final later on that evening.
My God, don't leave the house.
And lock yourself in. And it also works out because it's meaningless baseball that day.
That's true.
Because it's the Sunday before All-Star break. So
closing out the first half of the season.
Nobody plays on that day. It's all scrubs. It's all call-ups, if you will. So soccer could really own this coming Sunday.
How amazing is that? That is a very good.
The all-day drinking, by the way.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're a soccer fan, find a bar.
That's awesome.
The bad of the day, and it's not so much bad. I found it's really, really funny.
Okay.
Not necessarily bad. The way this becomes bad is if it starts a trend of this, because then that could get annoying pretty quick. But yeah, I'll give this credit where credit is due. This guy gets revenge on his girlfriend by secretly enlarging her forehead in photos when she makes him upset.
Oh.
They don't necessarily split up. He just takes a photo of her and enlarges her forehead in the photo, and then puts it on social media for all to see.
Oh, okay. I got it. So people may think that's really how she looks.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
It's funny. I think where it can slide into the bad part is I don't want copycats. I don't want this to become a viral sensation where everyone's like, oh, watch this. I gave her longer arms. I gave her longer toenails. I don't want to see that. Give this guy his credit. Good on you, and let it be.
Aren't those filters that are on iPhones, haven't they led to a lot of bad dating situations?
Oh, I'm certain they have.
Where you're like, oh my God, she is so cute. And you get there and like, wait a minute, this doesn't look anything like you.
But I mean, you look at some of these photos that he did to her and, I don't know how they would, they stay together. To be honest with you, they're still together. It's not a breakup situation where they just get into an argument. You know, how many times have you gotten into a fight with your wife? Usually you just sleep on the couch.
Right.
You know, here he takes it a step further. He's sleeping on the couch and he's like, you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to enlarge your forehead in a photo on social media.
Yeah, and it's forever.
And then repost it.
Yeah, and it's forever.
And basically what I want you to picture is What I want you to picture is Phil Hartman's caveman.
Oh, no. Really?
You know, that elongated forehead. Yeah, that's what he's all kind of like.
Oh, no. Now, she's in a very bad relationship. She needs to jump out of that.
She does.
She
Maybe
really
that's
does.
Bad on her for staying in it.
Yeah, get out of there.
He throws before and after. So you see what the photo looks like before, and then you see it after. And, God, that's just terrible.
My God, that's terrible. That is terrible. All right. It is funny, but it's still terrible.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
She definitely needs, she needs to find someone who can love her for her.
Yes, exactly. All right. So what's the dumb of the day?
You know what? Maybe we just rename the category the Mets.
All right. Let's start through this with the Mets. Oh, yeah. Today's the day, isn't it?
No. Oh, yeah. Today is the day.
Today
that's
is
right.
The day.
Okay.
Let's get to that secondly.
It's a double win for the Mets today.
Yes.
But the Mets out-Mets themselves. And they
what did they do?
And they messed all over themselves. Well, they did this dearly departed tribute.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
During over the weekend to some of the members of the 1969 Mets, and they included two people who, in fact, are not dead.
Tom Seaver was one of them.
Yeah.
Tom Seaver was one of them.
Then the other one was Jim Gosker.
Oh, okay. So are most of the 69 Mets dead?
Well, no. Well, the two that they put on the dead category, because Tom Seaver, they know he's not dead. You know, he's just MIA. Jesse Hudson and Jim Gosker
have died.
No, they're not dead.
They're not dead, but they were on the list.
They were listed as, you know, let's remember these two individuals. And for Jim, they went so far to not even invite him.
Oh, okay. My God. My God.
If you heard this with any other team, you'd be like, oh, that's an honest mistake.
That's right. But the Mets, of course.
If it happened to the Indians, honest mistake. Okay.
No, absolutely. You know,
these are two little-known players. We don't really remember them. Maybe if I really followed the 69 Mets and knew their whole story, I would know who these two guys are. But it's the Mets, and it's like, okay, this is kind of comical because it's the Mets.
Yep. And today is Bobby Bonilla Day.
And today's Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yep. Now, didn't we talk about this a while back? And I think it was Michael on Twitter told us that the Mets were using interest from the Madoff investment, the Madoff what later found out to be a Ponzi scheme. Of course, they didn't know that at the time.
That's how they were going to make money off the deal.
They were going to make money off the deal because they were involved in this incredible investment, quote unquote, that Bernie Madoff got them in. So they were like, oh, yeah, we'll keep paying you this amount because we're just paying you a portion of the interest of the money we would have given you that we invested.
Yes.
So we took the money that we were supposed to pay you in this lump sum. We invested it with this Bernie Madoff guy. My God, he's sweet as gold. He's just, everything he touches. So we take your money, boom, here we go. And then we're getting interest on that. And then a portion of that interest is going to you. And you'll get that forever or for a long period of time. Meanwhile, this keeps making money for us.
Yep.
This investment keeps making money for us. And of course,
and so they were going to make out big. And I'll be able to go out and spend some cash on free agents, if you will, or just pocket it and, you know, take exotic trips to the Dominican Republic. That's probably what they had in mind back then.
Now, I don't know much about the deal. I will have to really look up the details. How much is he making more on this deal than he would have if he had gotten the lump sum payment?
I think he's pocketing almost $29 million more.
Oh,
because
okay.
If I remember correctly, I think they owed him like a remaining $6 million. And they decided to defer that with this whole interest plan thing, whatever. And it was basically, we're going to cut you a check for $1.1 or $1.3 million every year on July 1st. Until 2036.
Yep, I just found it. Okay, you're right. You're 100% right. He was owed $5.9 million in 2000. So this is they deferred it. This is his ninth payment today. So I'm sure they said, all right, look, in 10 years from now, you're going to start getting $1.1 million for 25 payments. So this is he gets 25 payments This is his ninth. That means this is Bobby Bonilla Day for another 16 years.
Yeah. Now, two other things to remember by this, because I do remember when we talked about this earlier, is because somebody had tweeted out two stats from this that were mind-boggling. That Bobby Bonilla currently is making more than Cody Bellinger.
That's right. That's right. That's
and
awesome.
Bobby Bonilla's deal will outlast Bryce Harper's current deal.
Ah, that's right, because this runs through 2035. Ah, that's a great point. Well, that's why Twitter can be the sewer of humanity, but sometimes it can bring you some diamonds.
Nuggets, because, you know, well, I wouldn't think of it, would you? Would you think, like, oh, you know, what's Cody Bellinger making right now versus Bobby Bonilla?
See, and I wonder, too, like somebody, like Bobby Bonilla's agent must have been like, wait a minute, hold on, what? Hold on. So instead of just giving us $6 million today, you want to give him whatever 25 times 1.1 is, you know, 27 or whatever it is, over
how many
20
years?
over 35 years. That means his agent is getting a cut of this every July 1st, right? So his agent's getting what, 10%, let's say, or $110,000 every July 1st. It's pretty sweet.
I mean, today Bobby Bonilla is going to wake up, you know, probably check his bank account on his app and go, there it is. Go back to sleep.
There it is. It cleared. Good night.
Cleared. There's the check.
Go back to bed.
I'm set for another year.
Every July 1st, I would wake up as soon as the banks like process that, like at 2 a.m, whenever their business day kicks in, you know, and I would wake up and I would wait to that very moment and just refresh my bank account until I see it. And then I'd go to bed. That's what I would go to bed.
The moment,
I'd be like, refresh. Out, bingo, 1.19 million. Bye, good night. Go to bed now. I got it.
Wake up in a couple hours.
That's awesome.
Because, I mean, you don't work.
No, you're not doing anything.
You're not doing anything. I mean, you know, he made enough money as it is.
This is
his
pension. Yeah, he's got whatever he's made.
His pension.
His baseball pension. And then this little nugget that comes in every year on the 1st of July. Well played.
God, how long do you think it took his agent to convince Bobby Bonilla?
That's a good question.
You know, it's like, okay,
Bonilla could easily have gone, No. I want it now. Give it me today. I want this done. I want this over with. Get me out of this. And they said, no, you don't get it.
I really don't think it was a hard sell, though.
No, you can't.
Because at that time, you know, Bobby Bonilla was one of the highest paid players. I think he was the highest paid player at that time. So he already has cash in the bank. And then, you know, $6 million, that was a big number back then. But then when you sit there and you say, hey, listen, Bobby, we can give you $6 million today. They're willing to give, you know, just pay it off. Or, you know, you're almost doing them a solid by deferring your contract for the next 30 years or 25 years, whatever it was, and they're going to be paying you a little bit more on top of that.
Yeah, exactly.
I wish somebody would offer that to me.
I know, right?
Every year you get this one.
For 25 years. Unbelievable. Well done. That's very Metsy. Well done. At least, you know what? When Michael brought up, told us why, though, it seemed to make sense. It seemed to make sense at the time. But not anymore.
Will Pons.
not anymore. All right, that's the good, the bad, the dumb on a Monday SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM. On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Ron just told me that the semifinal match is going to be in Nashville against Jamaica.
For the men's team, yep.
Is Jamaica any good?
You know, they're up and down.
Okay.
Like, sometimes they're really good, sometimes they're not. I don't know what. It's always hard to tell in the Gold Cup.
Yeah. On Twitter, Robert, welcome back. Rocket Mortgage tournament by most accounts went well. Yeah, it did go well. Nate Lashley won it. Again, his story is really interesting. Tragic. Came back. Couldn't qualify. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Especially in college, when you're in college. I mean, listen, it would be tragic no matter how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're 50 and you're... parents die in a plane crash when you're when they're in their 70s. It'd be tragic.
But along, along with your girlfriend, I mean, here's the deal. He had no one to confide into.
Yeah, that's right.
He probably had buddies and stuff like that. But I mean, you usually turn to your significant other.
Right.
Or you turn to your parents if there was a significant other that passed.
So, again, if you don't know the story, he was playing in a golf tournament for the University of Arizona in college years ago. And his wife, not his wife, his girlfriend and his parents went to go see him. And they flew back on a plane that crashed in Wyoming. And they all three were killed. And he quit golf. He was selling real estate. He was basically flipping houses for a number of years. Thought he was going to give up golf for good. He's now in his mid-30s. I think he's 36. And he didn't even qualify for this tournament in Detroit. This was the inaugural Rocket Mortgage tournament. And he did not qualify on Monday. Got into the tournament anyway. And then shot lights out. Shot 25 under par. Shot two rounds of 63. And won the thing by six. And now he's a PGA. He's going to the Masters. I mean, that's what a story. I had never heard of this guy. And now he's a PGA Tour winner. He's going to be in the majors. I think he gets into this into the British Open this week. I think he does because Jordan Spieth got into his first British Open by winning the last tournament before the British Open. He might qualify for the British Open at Royal Portrush because of this victory. Good for him. Good for him. All right. Continuing along next hour, two guests, including the one and only Joey Chestnut, SB Nation Radio.